So I'm here at my favourite place, it's turning out to be, the Fringe Tent here at the Amsterdam Fringe on day two now with Igor Vrabats, and we're going to talk about Homo sapiens. So, yeah, exactly. And this is devised work. This is coming from the background of mime as well. So tell us a bit about the production.
Well, the production deals with the subject homosexuality. It's what I try to do is to break through the clichés around homosexuality, because when I get into the metro, I'm afraid of listening to Beyoncé, and I wonder why is that. I don't want to be afraid. So this performance deals with that kinds of issues, and basically it's a quest for the normal man, because I think there's in every homosexual man, there's a normal man, the Homo sapiens. And basically what I want to do with the performance is to make this new box that is not for the homosexual or the lesbian or anybody else, but just for the Homo sapiens, because on first hand, we are all Homo sapiens.
So here's my challenge to you. I mean, every Fringe festival now, and particularly the bigger ones, there's an LGBT listings. You know, there are festivals in their own right. And so that wish to, you know, point to the humanity that underlies us all, is that you want to break through some of the clichés that exist. But how do you ensure that that process of breaking through isn't just another cliché?
Well, that's a very good question, because I think my performance is more based on a philosophical level, and it goes more deep than just dancing the single ladies or just dealing with the subject of getting dressed up or whatever. So it's basically, what I could say, it's different because I feel different, and therefore it isn't a cliché.
But I guess also that part of that philosophy is, in one direction you point to the archetypal humanity in us all, and in the other direction you've got quotes. My favourite philosopher, Rudolf Steiner, talks about, you know, one day we'll realise that every human being is a unique species of one, and therefore anthropology will have to develop a method to understand each person. And so the other bit is that even when you reach that archetype, don't you then have to go further and accept that there really are no labels?
Yeah, that's what I try to do. Like, there are really no labels, and even though I also behave within those labels in social life, I try to not to do, because I try not to judge. I try not to to have this all this big opinions about that. When I see someone walking around on high heels, even though it's a male or female, it's something that we should learn ourselves, and that costs a lot of time, because we are not that simple in dealing with those big changes, because the world is just stuck in these small labels and boxes, and because that makes life so much easier. Because when I know that you're wearing a label, then I know how to approach you, and that's, I think, very stupid, because my personality isn't just about homosexuality. I have so much more to offer than just my sexuality.
So in terms of taking that into a devising room, you know, how, having had the idea to do this, what are the first steps that took place in that room?
What's the first step to?
The first step in that rehearsal room to beginning this process of creating this show.
Yeah. It was the single ladies of Beyoncé. The main subject was how to deal with the exhaustion of a male body. So I danced the single ladies for 16 times just to discover what it gives me as a human being to be really exhausted, to go to the core of existence. So to rip off every layer that I have as a human being in the social world, but just to discover what it is to exist. And that's where I started from.
So is the process of that, when you use the word exhaust, to kind of go so into the cliché that then it kind of falls away, and then something else is left, and you look at what that is?
Exactly. And then from there on, I made more and more material, and I developed from single ladies into something that is that has references to bodybuilding, or it has references to commedia dell'arte, because I'm also performing with a mask, and there's also a short video clip that deals with being a vegetarian, being different. So it all started there, breaking through that cliche, and then from there on creating more material. And it also has to do with the way of performing, because when I'm on stage, I I like to be naked. I like to give everything. I like to be personal and intimate with my audience. So I kind of had to do that in two different ways: one for the material and one for the performativity of the performance.
And was that process a solo process mostly, or a social process?
It was both, actually, because this idea was I developed it 2 years ago. I wanted to make a performance called Homo Sapiens, and it had to deal with the theme of homosexuality. And now, in this world where we deal with a lot of bad negative news about homosexuality in Middle East, in Europe as well. I had to do it now, so because I think history is repeating itself, especially when you consider those figures as Anita Bryant in America in the 70s. Those figures, those people still exist, and I found it quite hard because they are also talking to me as a young homosexual man, and I had to do it right now because I felt offended. Because I might be gay, but I'm also a human being. So, who are you talking to? You know, like, you're not directly talking to me, but you are talking to me. So that, like, it was like this struggle between private and personal. And I think I made a good balance between those two things on stage.
So, but who gave you objectivity? Were there directors in the room? Were there people at certain times you were showing this to get feedback?
I had a end director, and I had a scenographer working for me. So they basically helped me with the content of the material and the form, and the scenographer helped me really with the light and the decor and the mask. So I had people around me working, helping, and that's how I like to work.
And in terms of then how it developed towards the performance that's going to happen here at the Fringe then, were you changing it right up to the last minute, or did it at some point you go, that's the print and now we just need to repeat it and get it right?
The thing is, I performed the thing, the Homo Sapiens solo performance, already in May. So the piece was done already. I was rehearsing 2 weeks in Oslo and in Belgium. Then I came back and then I thought, like, oh, I still miss something, so I made just a short movie before the performance starts, which is like kind of an intro or a prologue. So the performance was already finished, but until yesterday, I just adjusted some small things. So it's always nice to add something, and also while you perform, I discover more and more. So I truly hope to perform this performance more often to develop it.
So what's in your notebooks?
My notebooks? they're in my head, though, but take time. Don't explain too much, because I like to be big. I'm big myself, and I like to be big on stage, and that's like, it's a quality, but also a very big minus. So don't explain too much. Try to articulate, because I'm very physical, so then I forget about talking very clearly. So those kind of things are in my notebooks.
Wacky creative challenge for you here. If a woman came to you, having seen the show, and said, I love this, I'm a performer, I want to do this.
A woman?
Work with me. How would you direct someone else?
That's the thing. Like, I wanted, my next step is to direct two men in maybe in the same subject. It has to do more with nothing to do with homosexuality, but with being a man and having emotions as a man. So if a man came up to me, I would say, like, yeah, come, I already have a plan. But for now, I don't have a plan with a woman.
Is this a man's view?
Is this a man's view? Yeah, I think so. But I think I don't wear that much on stage, and I hear from heterosexual women that they like it, even though I'm gay. So that's a good thing, I think. But I would love to work with women. Yeah, yeah.
Igor, can you take us into the 15 minutes before you go on stage? What we could see you then? What's going on?
That's quite hard. I'm warming up, basically. I'm finding my ground, just to let go of all the nerves and not to think about technique, audience, PR or whatsoever, because basically I'm doing everything by myself. Those last 15 minutes before the audience steps in, it's quite important to focus on the performance. I'm doing that an hour before I start, warming up, drinking a lot of water because that's necessary for the performance, taking it easy, breathe, do some voice exercising exercises. That's basically what I do. Like, just shut off from the world and try to create my own bubble.
Final question, having gone on this particular journey in your work, I come from Brighton, you know, gay pride is a big part of the calendar. Some people call Brighton the gay capital of Europe, yet you've also got Uganda and what's going on there. Are you looking at the world as it currently is? Are you hopeful about the way that people's sexuality is able to express, or more or less hopeful?
I don't know. It's a very tough question, because I'm not very hopeful though, because from my point of view, I think like the gay prides that are existing right now, or the one here in Amsterdam, I don't like it so much. First of all, I don't like big crowds, and second of all, I don't understand that you want to come travel 3 hours from Northern Holland, from a small village, go to Amsterdam for one day to see all homos, only homos on the boat waving and doing their thing. And also from other point of view, from the company's point of view, like all these big banks, like or the football association or whatever, they are just promoting it one day, like we accept gays, and all the other days of the rest of the world, who are you then? Like, you can only be one day yourself, and that's what I don't like about being in a gay pride. Like I'm every day for me is a gay pride, and that's really, really important to keep in mind as a homosexual. And we shouldn't fight, but we should inform people, because a lot of people are ignorant because they just don't know better, and we shouldn't fight their ignorance. We should learn them, we should teach them, and that's what I'm trying to do with the performance. So I hope that the world gets better, and I hope that I get more hopeful after I've done the show for many, many times.
So a bit of hope and teaching rather than telling, and transcending labels.
Exactly.
Igor.
Knowledge is power, and there are a lot of people that don't have that knowledge.
Igor, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Paul.